Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, a Gerner of Shabbos to all. One week away from Leil HaSeder, more or less. So Be'ezer Hashem, our learning should bring Zechus HaTova and very difficult evening again in Eretz Yisrael. This has been the worst 2 weeks of terror since 2006. Be'er Sheva, I read over Shabbos that in Be'er Sheva, one of the 40-something-year-old women who was killed, her children are 14, 12, and 6 years old. Hadera, two 19-year-olds. Bnei Brak, one of the individuals, 29 years old, with a 2-year-old son. His wife is 8 months pregnant. And then tonight in Tel Aviv. So 2 victims whose names have not even been released have been killed, and 4 others are fighting for their lives, and others are injured, but less critically. So we really need the Geula this Nisan. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, on his people, on his Torah, and on his land. We have 2 Shir dedications this evening. I go in order as usual that I receive them. Okay? The first is by Susie Fonfetter. She also dedicated and sponsored Shir last week. So Tizki the Mitzvos of Maisim Tovim. Unfortunately, her flight was delayed, so she's not able to join us. She told me to start without her, but I told her, please, she should listen to the recording. And we thank her very much for her Shir sponsorship. And she sponsors, what does she sponsor for? She's dedicating this Shir in honor of her cousin, Miriam Goodman. Shir founder, she is the best cousin and friend and the person with a ton of emunah and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all love Miriam. She's the one that started me on the road to be a better person. I can go on and on. She is and always will be my baby sister. We grew up together, they're first cousins. She was the only girl and so was I. Our mothers were sisters. They were very caring and close to each other till the end. Miriam always stayed with me when she was young. So Susie Fonfetter dedicates this Shir in honor of her sister cousin, Miriam Goodman, our Shir founder. Baruch Hashem, both dedications tonight are for Besuros Tovos. That's one. And the second one, Baruch Hashem, is also for a Simcha by Paula and Ira Spodek. In gratitude to Hashem for the gift of a new grandson born to their children, Rabbi Matan and Yafi Wexler of Boca Raton, Florida. The new baby, Yaakov Avram, joins his 4 older brothers, Shlomo, Ezra, Noam, and Yehuda. The Midah by which Yaakov Avinu is famously known as Emes, and the Midah of Avram is Chesed, as it says in Sefer Micha, Titein Emes Yaakov, the Chesed the Avraham. It is therefore their fervent tefillah that their new grandson, by Paula and Ira Spodek, Yaakov Avraham, will embody these 2 beautiful midos of Emes and Chesed and bring much nachas to the family of all and all of Kaisha. Amen v'amen. So Baruch Hashem, our Shir dedications are both for wonderful Besuros Tovos and Simchas. And we thank both Susie Fonfetter and Paula Spodek very, very much. So let us learn. So a couple of weeks ago, we started in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav Mishnah Tes. I thought, very silly, that I was going to get through 10 insights of Rav Chaim Kanievsky then. I got through 2. And then I thought I was going to finish all of them last week, and I didn't. But I'm actually going back to the Mishnah now. I'm going to screen share with you, okay? And I'm going to share with you a beautiful, beautiful Chiddush / Ha'ara in the name of an online listener. Okay, she listened to the first year where we quoted the Mishnah from Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Test, and she reached out to me with really a very beautiful insight and a beautiful Chiddush. So I have the Mishnah on my screen. Can you see that I am screen sharing here? Yes, thank you so much. Okay. We started here 3 shirim ago, i.e. 2 weeks ago. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. And you might think I know the story. Yes, I know, but I'm going to add something. Maybe you heard it before. I didn't, and I loved it. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, Pam achas hayisi mehalech baderach. One time I was walking on the way, upaga bi adam echad, and I met a guy. V'nasal nishalom, v'echzarti lo shalom shalom aleichem, Rabbi, shalom aleichem, how are you? They gave each other a handshake and a shalom aleichem, and everything's wonderful. Amar li Rabbi me'ezer makom ato. And this man said to me, Rabbi, from what place are you? Amarti lo, I said to Meir Gadol Shechacham Vishosofrim, Ani, oh, you know where I'm from a Gevaldic place of Torah learning, from a large city of wise people and scholars. That's where I'm from, and scribes. Amarli, so this man said to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Rabbi, Rebbe, Ritzoncha Shetadur Imanu Bimekomenu, wait a second, Rabbi, would you like to live with us in our place? Vani Etenech Aleph Alafim Din Rezahava Vanim Tovus Umargos, I will give you thousands of pieces of gold and good stones and pearls. Amartilo Bini Matano Saini Kol Kesef Vizava Vanim Tovus Umargos Shabom. I said to my son, if you give me all the silver and the gold and precious gems and pearls and the Hope Diamond, the most glorious South Sea pearls, anything vast and unbelievably fabulous and wealth that you could give me, Eini Dar Al B'Makom Torah, I'm still not coming to your place because I'm only living in a place of Torah. Velo Oro, not only that, but the time that a person's patira, when a person leaves this world, all the silver and all the gold and all the precious gems and all the diamonds and all the pearls and the rubies and the sapphires, they don't go with you. The only thing that goes with you is Torah, Maisim Tov, and Bilvad. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma can't move to this place? People move all the time. Rabbanim, Palpa, rabbis move all the time. Teachers move all the time. Principals, I'm talking about of a Talmud Torah, yeshiva, they move. People move to teach Torah in a new place, to get a scholarly position in a different place, to become a shul rabbi in a different place. So Shani Goralitz, my friend, and she's been learning with me for, I think, 7 years already in a different venue, was listening to the shir online. So she WhatsApped me 2 weeks ago, and she said, I was laughing. She said she was laughing with me, not at me. She said, I was laughing that, Michal, you thought you were going to get through 10 insights of Rav Chaim Zatzal in one shir. But she said, and I'm going to quote Shani, she said, while listening, I thought of an idea about the Mishnah you chose. The man asked, where are you from? Amarli, the guy said, Rabbi, to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Me'ezo Makamata. Where are you from? That's a very valid question. You meet someone and you play Jewish geography. We do it all the time. Where are you from? They were doing it in the days of the Tanaim. Amarti, though, I said to him, I'm from Toronto. I'm from LA. I'm from Woodmere. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm from Cedarhurst. I'm from Baltimore. I'm from Philadelphia. When someone asks you where you're from, you say the place where you're from. You don't start describing the place where you live. After you say where you're from, I'm from Toronto, Canada originally, and now I live in Woodmere, New York. That would be my answer. Or I'm from Toronto, Canada. For a number of years, I lived in Brooklyn. Then I lived in Cedarhurst for 13 years. Now I live in Woodmere. I say where I'm from geographically. When someone says where you're from, they're playing Jewish geography. Shani wrote in her WhatsApp, while listening to your shir, meaning of 2 weeks ago, I thought of an idea about the Mishnah you chose. The man asked Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, where are you from? The answer should be the name of a city. Shani wrote about herself, I'm from LA. You, meaning Micha, are from Toronto. Shani said, I don't say when someone asks me where I'm from, quote, I'm from a place where they film movies and people love to look perfect. You say geographically where you're from. You don't describe the place when someone asks where you're from. The answer that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma gave in the Mishnah shows who he is and what he valued. Geographically, it wasn't so important to him. It's interesting. We actually don't even know from this Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was from. He actually does not tell us. Where are you from, Michal? I'm originally from Toronto. Then I moved to Brooklyn after I got married. Then we moved to Cedars. Then I live in Woodmere. I'm going to tell you where I'm from. Where is this guy from? We don't even know where Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is from. Not from this Mishnah, maybe somewhere else in the Mishnah. I said, I don't know. I'm from an Ir Gadola. Do they film movies? Do they have grand parties? Do they have golf courses? What is in this big city? What is it called? It doesn't matter what it's called. I'm from a city that values Torah. That's where I'm from. He defined, not by giving a geographic location, but the essence of the place that was most important to him. Like Shani said, if someone asks me for where I'm from, I'm not going to say I'm from Los Angeles. I'm not going to say I'm from a place where they film movies and people love to look perfect. And there's Rodeo Drive and big jewels and fancy things. No, that's not what I'm going to say. The answer Shani wrote is who each person is and what they value. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma values Torah. And what did the other guy say? He didn't say where he's from. He didn't say, oh, you originally come from, I don't know, the Galilee. Would you like to move to Be'er Sheva? He said, you want to live in our place. What must be the essence of that place? Aleph Alafim Din Bezava Vanim Tovos Umargolios. You live in a place of Chachamim and Sofrim. Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanu Zakenim, Kulanu Yodim Es Torah, Mitzvah Leinu Lesaper, Bitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oso Halayla. That's where Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisvas from Geographic. I don't even know where he's from. It doesn't even tell me where he's from. How does he know you can't move to this place? It was a test. Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma is setting up a litmus test for this guy. Maybe I should really move to that place. Maybe it's a wonderful city. Maybe I could do a lot of good there. Maybe I could teach Torah there. Maybe I could reach more people with different Torah than I could reach here. So maybe it's kedai to live there. So he doesn't say immediately, I'm not moving. The guy says, where are you from? And he says, I'm going to tell you the essence of what is important to me. What's important to me is a life of Torah. I am from a town where they value Torah. It's full of Chachamim, the Ben HaChacham. It's full of Sofrim, Mitzvah Leinu L'Saper. So the man says, would you like to live with us? And Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma is waiting to see Taka. Maybe I do want to live with him. I don't know. Maybe it's a good position. Maybe I'll make more money and I can reach more people. I shouldn't have said make more money. I only mean, because that's what Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma doesn't want. I only mean that in this world, a person, Lamaisa, has to take Olam Hazeh into consideration and needs to make a parnasa. So maybe he could think, while I'm reaching more people, I'll also make a parnasa. That's also Brik Lavos. But the guy doesn't mention anything about Torah. The guy doesn't mention reaching people. He doesn't mention Kiruv Kerovim or Kiruv Rechokim. He simply says, do you want to live in my place? What's my place? My place is Aleph, Alafim, Din, Rezava, Vanim, Tovos, and Margolios. My place is so geschmack, we're loaded. The streets are paved with gold. Amartilo. And that's a Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma knew. I'm not living there for all the money in the world. Because the essence of your place is Gashmias. And the essence of my place is Kula Ruchnias. Amarti lo, what a gewaldic chiddush, pshat, interpretation of the Mishnah. Because really, what's wrong with moving? We move all the time. And especially if you have the opportunity to be marbitz martor, you should move. He doesn't immediately write him off. He waits to see what his answer is. Amarti lo bini, em atun osein li kol kesef vavzal vavanim tovus umargosha ba'olam. Eini daral b'makam Torah. If you give me all the silver and the gold and the precious gems and the pearls in the world, I'm not coming to your place. Why not? Because you're not a place of Torah. You don't value Torah. That's not how you define your essence. You're from a place, to paraphrase Shani, where they film movies and people love to look perfect. There I can't go. That's funny. Someone just said a reminder of something I told her in a different shir. Esty, when I told that over in the shir, Shani Gorelitz came over to me and she said to me, that story of the shoes reminds me of what I told you about the Pirkei Avos shir. And I think it's a tremendous pshat. Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma defined what was important to him about the place where he lived. And the man, who remains nameless, defined what was important to him about the place where he lived. I just saw that it's something very interesting. I never noticed this also before, only when I was reading. The man offers him Aleph Alafim Din Rei Zahav Avanim Tovos Umargolios. You see on my screen? I hope you see on my screen. I've been here the whole time. Ani Etein Lecha Aleph Alafim Din Rei Zahav Avanim Tovos Umargolios. When Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma answers, he adds in something that the man did not add. The man offers him Zahav Avanim Tovos Umargolios. What does Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma offer first? What does Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma say? I'm not coming even if you offer me. He brings up Kesef. The man never offered him Kesef. Do you see what I'm talking about? I never noticed it. Literally, I was in the middle of meeting the Mishnah right now. The man says to him, please come live in our place. What's our place? Our place is clearly what I can offer you. What could I offer you? Not Talmidei Chachamim and Sofrim. I offer you Alafim Dinrei Zahav, 1,000 dinarim of gold, Avanim Tovos, and Margolios. Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma answers back and he says, if you give me all the kesef, zahav avanim tovus umargolios sheba'olam, eini dar al b'makom Torah. That's very interesting. The man didn't say anything about offering him kesef. Rabbi Yossi Ben Kisma on his own says, I'm not coming to a place that's full of kesef, zahav avanim tovus umargolios sheba'olam. So what perhaps is going on here? So I heard Rabbi Zev laugh. I've heard him say it a couple of times. Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita from Moshav Matityahu, who says, you have a piece of glass. A piece of glass can either be a window or a mirror. I didn't even think of this when I was preparing Shir. I literally never thought of this when I considered this Mishnah until this second. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma adds the word kesef. He says, I'm not coming to live in that place, even if you offer me all the kesef, zahav, of Adam Tosu, Margolius. But the man doesn't say anything about kesef, so why does he say back, I'm not coming to a place where you offer me kesef? The man didn't even offer him kesef. Well, what are you saying, kesef? So I just thought of something interesting. Rabbi Zev Lev says, you have a piece of glass. What's the difference between a mirror and a window? A little bit of kesef. A window, you look out to see other people. A mirror, you look in to see yourself. When a person puts a little bit of kesef on the piece of glass, they change a window into a mirror. Now they're not looking out to see others, they're looking at their very own selves. And perhaps, I don't know, but maybe that's why Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, one of the reasons why he adds, or that's one of the things we can learn from the fact that he adds in the word kesef. He's saying to the man, in a place where all you value is zahav, avanim tovus umargolios, it's because you're looking in the mirror at your very own selves. What do I need? How could I fill my desires? What makes me happy? How much more gashmis could I have? Instead of a place where we look out the window and see the needs of Achenu b'nei Yisrael and Asunim b'tzara v'shivya, what can I do for somebody else? How can I fulfill the mitzvah of ma'os chitim? How can I help with kimcha d'pischa? How can I daven for the matzav in Tel Aviv and the Jews who are suffering at this very minute as we are speaking about an emergency surgery? You'll put up a little bit of kesef. And all you see is yourself. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, the counter offer that he makes is, I'm not coming to live with you because you're a place of kesef. If you're so focused on your zahav, of anim tovos and margolius, and you don't even hear that I'm from a place of chachamim and sofrim, that means what you're doing is waking up in the morning and instead of looking out your window and saying, how can I daven for my fellow Jew? How can I give tzedakah for my fellow Jew? How can I hold the hand of my fellow Jew? You're saying, how can I fill my own wishes, my own desires? I will not come if you offer me all the kesef, all the mirrors in the world. Because you are focused on Zahav, Avanim Tovos, and Margolios. And that's how he knew he shouldn't move there. There's nothing wrong with moving. If you couldn't teach more Torah and somewhere else and still feed your family, you could have Kemach and Torah. But each one defined themselves not by a geographic location, but by the essence of the place that was important to them. And it's so gewaldic. I thank Shana Groth so much for listening to the first year and for reaching out to me. It changes my whole understanding of the Mishnah. And it should change our understanding of where we live, of who we are, of what is important to us. Is it the geography or the essence of a place? Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma adds kesef. Torah Shebaal Peh, like Torah Shebichtav, is very significant. Every word is important. The man says nothing about kesef. Why are you talking about kesef? I didn't say I'm going to offer you kesef. I'm going to offer you gold. I'm going to offer you precious gems. I'm going to offer you pearls. But I didn't say kesef. Why are you saying kesef? Rabbi Zavlov said, what's the difference between a mirror and a window? A little bit of silver. Put up a little bit of silver and all of a sudden you're seeing yourself. And you're not seeing everyone else. I cannot live in such a place. Eini dar. Ella b'makom Torah. I'm quoting a story from Rav Mordechai Gifter, Mamish Gevaldik. Unbelievable. Rav Mordechai Gifter biography. Artswell, it's beautiful. He was Rabbi Zev Lev's Rebbe. Rabbi Zev Lev will often say, my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter Zatzal. That wasn't on purpose because I didn't even know I was quoting Rabbi Lev because I didn't even notice the kesef part ever in my life. So I read the Mishnah while I was reading it over with you. So now I quote from Rabbi Zev Lev's Rosh Hashiva, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal. Rav Gifter would tell, it's an art school biography, it's beautiful. The vision, fire, and impact of an American born gadol. Rav Gifter from Taos. Rav Gifter told a story to illustrate the amuna of a Rav Matol Pogromansky. He was a big Ilui and an Adam gadol in Europe. Rav Matol Pogromansky, I've heard his name mentioned in other places as well. Rav Gifter told the story to illustrate the amuna of Rav Matol. Shortly after World War II, Rav Matol and a friend were traveling. They planned to reach their destination well before Shabbos. However, they became engrossed in a discussion and they missed their stop. By the time they disembarked from, well, I guess they were on a train, it was almost Shabbos. Quote, they had no idea where they were. Rav Matol's friend was horrified. What would they do? Shabbos was approaching. They were nowhere near a Jewish community. But Rav Matol reassured his friend, quote, a Jew is never lost. If we are here, it's not because we're lost. It's because we are meant to be here. He proved the point from the story of Hagar, from Sefer Bereishis, Hagar. When she was sent away from Avram's home, the Torah says there was two times she sent away, one in Perek Tazayin and one in Perek Chaval. Perek Chaval is what we read on Rosh Hashanah. When she was sent away from Avram's home, the Torah says that she was lost. Rashi comments, she returned to the house of her father and to a life of idol worship. Rav Mato asked, how do we know that Hagar went back to a life of idol worship? Maybe she was just lost. The answer is, a person who is following the word of Hashem is never lost. He realizes wherever he is now is exactly where Hashem wants him to be. Hagar's lamentation showed she abandoned her faith in the Almighty. It's a proof that she returned to ways of idol worship, otherwise she would not be lost. Being lost is not a geographic location. Being lost is leaving the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rav Mato said to his friend, we're not lost. We're exactly where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be. Rav Mato's friend replied, the Vart is wonderful, Rav Mato. Uber Rav Mato, mir zenin fart for blunget. Nice Tvar Torah, but Rav Mato, we're lost. Not one to give up hope. Rav Mato inquired and discovered, indeed, there was one Jew in town. They went to his home. When the man opened the door, he was stunned to find two Jews on his doorstep. He could not believe his eyes. Are you Eliyahu HaNavi? He asked the strangers in shock. Rav Matal informed this Jew that no, he was not Eliyahu HaNavi, and he and his friends were simply two Jews traveling, and his name was Matal Pogromansky. He introduced his friend. The host invited them in for Shabbos, and he explained that he and his wife, Paula, because you're dedicating this in honor of the bris of your new grandson. The host explained he and his wife had a baby boy the Shabbos before. They tried to get a moyel to come to the city for Shabbos. They were unable to find anyone willing to come. Would either of you, said the new father, happen to be a moyel? Rav Matal smiled. He informed the host, indeed, his friend was a moyel. He even had his bris milah equipment with him. Remarkably, the baby was circumcised on Shabbos, on the 8th day, that's because Parsha Tazria, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zachar, v'tu mashiv asyamim, u'biyam mashmini yimal basar alaso. Vayikra 12:3. Rav Mato smiled, my friend is actually a mayo, and he has the tools of circumcision with him. The little baby merited to be circumcised on Shabbos, on the 8th day. Rav Gifter would tell over this story when he wanted to highlight the amunah of Rav Mato Pogromansky, a man who always felt he was in the hands of Almighty. But I'm including this story because it's an exact illustration, I think, of what Shani was telling us. A Jew is never lost. A Jew is exactly where he's supposed to be if he follows in the words and the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma knew, geographically it doesn't matter where I am. I'm not lost as long as I am in a place, any place, of Sofrim and Talmidei Chachamim. So if you tell me that your place has Talmidei Chachamim and Sofrim and Batei Medrash and Batei Knesset and Kolel and Yeshiva Yungalai, then I'm going to come there. It's wonderful. Then I'm not lost. But if you tell me all you care about is Zahav, Kesef, Vanim Tovos, or Margolis, and that means you're looking in the mirror in the morning and not out your window, if I come there, I will be lost. Geographically, I might be perfectly fine. Ways might know exactly where I am. But in such a place, I cannot live. Because then I will be lost. How do you know Hagar was lost? How could Rashi darshan that she went back to the ways of Avodah Zarah of her father? Because if she's lost, it means she abandoned the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Vart is wonderful. Uber Rav Matal, mir zenin far for blunder. No, said Rav Matal, a Jew is never lost. If we're here, it's not because we're lost. It's because we are meant to be exactly where we are. The Pasuk tells us, and I'm going to screen share. I prepared it on the screen for you. I just have to go back to it. Could you see I'm in Sefer Bamidbar now, Perek Tes? I mean, you don't know where I am, but I'm just, get it, no pun intended. It's a joke. You don't know where I am holding in the exact screen share, but I'm telling you that it's Bamidbar Perek Tes. But could you see it on my screen? Yeah, okay. So the Pasuk says, okay, Ubayam Hakimas a Mishkan, Kisha Ananas a Mishkan, the Ohal Ha'idus, and on the day that they erected the Mishkan, the cloud covered the Mishkan for the tent of testimony, and in the evening it would be upon the Mishkan like a fire until the morning. So we know that by day there was an Anan Al HaMishkan, and by fire there was Eshti Alaylabo, the Enid called. Excuse me, Beis Yishal, that's the last pasuk of Sefer Shemos. Okay, so by day it was cloud, covered by cloud, the Mishkan, by night of fire. Kein yet tamid ha'ana nichasenu umari eish laila. So it was always and consistently, the cloud would cover the Mishkan and the appearance of fire at night. When did the people know when to travel? How did they know when it was time to journey? When they were in the desert, they didn't have reminders on their phones, and they didn't have, I don't know, Amber Alerts, and they didn't have Waze, and they didn't have maps, Google Maps. What did they do? What was their sign? When the cloud lifted up from on the Ohel Moed, the Jews understood that now it's time for us to journey. And when the cloud rested, when it was at rest, Sham Yachanu B'nei Yisrael. So we knew journey when God's Anan lifts up, we come to rest when the Anan goes down. Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. When did they journey? By the word of God they journeyed, and by the word of God they rested. All the days that the cloud was atop the Mishkan, they were in camp. So they weren't traveling all the time. As long as the cloud was on top of the Mishkan, they were at rest. As long as the cloud lifted up and began to journey, they knew that that was their time to journey. Okay? So, Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael V'Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. The journeys were according to the word of God, and the encampments were according to the word of God. That's how they knew when it was time to travel, and that's how they knew when it was time to journey. Al Pi Hashem Yisu V'Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says as follows. If you ask a baby in a Sichos Musar, if you ask a baby at the start of a very long journey, a 500-mile journey, or a 40-year journey, if you ask a baby, where are you? A baby. The baby will say at the beginning of the journey, I'm in my mother's arms. Good. You drive 50 miles on the New Jersey State Turnpike, or the New York State Thruway, and you come to a rest stop in Poughkeepsie, New York. And you say to the baby, where are you? That's much more than 50 miles, however many miles it is to Poughkeepsie, New York. And you say to the baby, where are you? The baby will not geographically tell you where they are. The baby will say, I'm in the hands of my mother. And then you arrive more on the through, and you're in Buffalo, New York. And they're at another rest stop. And you say to the baby, where are you? And the baby's not going to say, I'm in Buffalo, New York. The baby's going to say, I'm in the hands of my mother. And they finally arrive at their destination in Toronto. And they've been driving for 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours. And they're 500 miles away from where they started. And you say to the baby, where are you? The baby says, what do you mean, where am I? I'm in the hands of my mother. Nah, I was in Woodmere. And now I'm in Poughkeepsie. And now I'm in Buffalo. And now I'm at the border. And now I'm in Toronto. There's no geographic definition of where that baby is. The baby is always with the mother. And as long as the child is with the child is safe and never lost. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu. Where are we? Never got us. Geographically, some of us are here, some of us are there, some of us are farther away. Did I tell you when I spoke at the OU Israel Center the week before Purim? I spoke once in Harnof and twice in Jerusalem at the OU Israel Center. So after my shiur, Wednesday night, a woman came over to me and she looked familiar, but I don't know. I meet a lot of people, so I didn't think anything. So she asked me a question. I answered the question. And then she said, Micha, I'm so-and-so from Australia. She joins on Zoom. Once a week, the timing works out that in Australia, she's able to join on Zoom. And I gave her a big hug. Oh, my gosh, I think she's on this share, but she's behind the camera. She's behind her closed camera. I was so excited. And she was from Australia. But what brought us together? Torah! You happen to be from Australia. I'm from Woodward. We both find ourselves in Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzu Torah dvar shom Yerushalayim. And here we are together. Where are you? I'm where there's divrei Torah. Where are you? I'm with my mother. Where are you? A Jew is never lost. Where are you? I'm from a place of sofrim and chachamim. And where are you? I'm from a place of zahav, of anim tovus umargolios. I guess she doesn't want to come out. But it's an amazing story. Where are you? I'm where there's Torah. And you're looking in Kesef. And you put a little bit of silver on your glass. And there's no way I'm coming to your place. One second. Oh yeah, you opened your camera. There you are. Jody, say hi to everybody. Okay? It's what time? 12:30 in Australia? And you're driving, so you also can't type an answer. Okay. So a rebuttal, it's a great verb, but we're lost. We're not lost. And this is what Shani thought when she listened to the Mishnah and the duration of the Shir. I'm from LA, you're from Toronto. You don't say I'm from a place where they film movies and people look perfect. And we're adding what Rabbi Zavlov says, applying what Rabbi Zavlov says about Kesef, because Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma adds Kesef, and the guy didn't say anything about Kesef. So why are you talking about Kesef? He's not talking about the monetary value of Kesef, because Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma doesn't care about that. He's talking about the fact that you are not a people of Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, clearly. You are people who look in the mirror and see your own selves and not look out your window to see another Jew. In such a place, I'm not coming to live. Says Rav Mato, a Jew is never lost. If Hagar was lost, that means she strayed from the ways of the house of Avraham Avinu. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, where are you? I'm with my mother. Jewish geography is far less important than asking a Jew where they're holding in life. I'm quoting from the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah. I should have to find the page. There we go. So at the back of the Rav Chaim, it's 10 a.m. Erev Shabbos in Sydney, Australia. Okay. So here I was saying how we met in Yerushalayim and it wasn't about geography, it was about Torah, and there you were. So there is a custom. I do not do this. I'm just saying what it says here. Maybe some of you do. Many of the custom to recite Shir Shirim following the Seder. I'm not saying I shouldn't be doing it. I'm just saying at a certain time, and you're very tired, you might not be saying Shir Shirim. But the Maisa, it's printed in the back of this Haggadah with the instruction that many of the custom to recite Shir Shirim following the Seder. Okay. In the Shir HaShirim, which is a love story between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Vav of Shir HaShirim, okay, Hinach Yafa Ra'ayasi. Behold, you are beautiful. Hine Yafa Ra'ayasi, my beloved. Hinach Yafa Einayich Yonim. Your eyes are so beautiful like doves, D-O-V-E-S. Hinach yafa ra'ayasi. Behold how beautiful is my beloved. Hinach yafa einayich yonim. Behold how beautiful are your eyes like doves. D-O-V-E-S. Doves have a certain midah, which is that they always return to their nest. They are faithful and loyal to their home, to their nest, to their partner. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah quotes Rabbitson Kanievsky Alaha Hashalom. The Rabbitson told the following story about her illustrious grandfather, Rav Aryeh Levin. If you didn't read the biography, it's Feldheim, you should read that as well. The Rav Mordechai Gifter, if you're looking for anything to read over Pesach, Rav Mordechai Gifter biography is beautiful. The Rav Aryeh Levin, at Tzaddik in our time, if you didn't read it, it was recently republished. You should really read it. He was, look at the children he married at Tahaf. The schuyos are unfathomable. He was known as the father of prisoners. He would go every single Shabbos to visit the Jewish prisoners who were interred in the British prisons. This is before the establishment of the state. Every weather, every Shabbos, every prisoner, no matter what was or was not on their head, he loved each and every Jew. Okay, the Rebbetzin told the following story. His daughter, Rav Aryeh Levin, married Rav Elyashev, Rebbetzin Shena Elyashev. Their daughter, one of their daughters, was Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky. Okay? The Rebbetzin told the following story. So Rav Chaim's grandfather through marriage was Rav Aryeh Levin. The Rebbetzin told the following story. My grandfather, Rav Aryeh Levin, used to pray in a small synagogue in Jerusalem. Among the congregants was an elderly man who had emigrated to Israel from Russia. Every Friday afternoon, this man would recite Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, in a beautiful voice. When he would say this pasuk, Perek Al Pasuk Tezvav, Hinach Yafa Ra'ayasi, Hinach yafa einayach yonim. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are as beautiful as doves. His voice would break, and his eyes would well up with tears, and the man would cry. After watching this for a few weeks, Rav Aryeh Levin approached the man, and he said, "Why specifically at this pasuk are you so emotional?" The man told this elderly gentleman who had emigrated from Russia to Israel, told Rav Aryeh Levin the following story. This was told over by Rebbetzin Batsheva, Alal Sham. "I was the rabbi of a town in Russia for many years. While I was there, I watched the number of religious Jews in my town and in all of Russia declining rapidly." There are two kinds of enemies, Bechol Dor Vador, Amdim Aleinu. Maybe that's why I repeat Dor, Bechol Dor Vador. That's also interesting. I just thought of something else. Why can't I just say Bechol Dor Amdim Aleinu? We're so used to saying Bechol Dor Vador, you don't even think about it. But why do you have to repeat Dor Dor? Just say Bechol Dor Amdim Aleinu Chalasein. It's true. Every generation, the rise destroys. Why do I have to say Bechol Dor Vador? In each and every generation. It really means in generation and generation. Just tell me that they rise to destroy me in every generation. One door is enough. I know, it repeats itself. Maybe it's coming to tell us that we have two kinds of enemies. In one generation, they'll be like communism. They'll say no Torah, like the Yevanim, no Bris Milah. They want to root out our Jewish practice. And in one generation, they arise like Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, the Nazis. Tonight in Tel Aviv, Haman HaRasha, they want to kill us. We have two kinds of enemies, so it's not consistent. In some generations you get both, but perhaps Bechol Dor Vador comes to teach us that from generation to generation, the enemy changes its stripes. They all want to destroy Knesset Israel. The kasha is, what is their tactic? Some take the tactic of outright murder. They want to kill us, physically annihilate Am Yisrael, from Beersheba to Chadera to Bnei Brak to Tel Aviv. Because Baruch Hu Matzil Yenim Yadam. In some Doros, they're not interested in killing us. They want us to assimilate, like America, at least until now. Like the Yovanim, like communist Russia, no religion. But Chol Dor, in some generations, is this way. Vidor, it's this way. Because Baruch Hu Matzil Yenim Yadam. I was a rabbi of a town in Russia for many years. I'm going back to the story. While I was there, I watched the number of religious Jews in my town and in all of Russia declining rapidly. Jews throughout Russia were assimilating at a terrible pace, and my congregation steadily shrank. One day, a stranger came to speak to me. Whew! He was certainly not religious, and I could not even tell that he was a Jew. He said he had come from a village a three-day journey away because his wife had just given birth to a son, and he wanted me to perform Bris Milah. I must have looked surprised because the man explained, "Rabbi, I realize I seem to be completely assimilated. And for the most part, it is true. I know nothing about Judaism. However, I still remain a Jew at heart. I remember clearly how I would watch my grandmother light the Shabbos candles. I remember a few small details of Judaism. I want my son to know that he is a Jew as well, even though I don't know if he will ever observe any of the commandments. Therefore, I traveled through." This is the man telling the rabbi in Russia. The rabbi, who is now an elderly gentleman, is relating this to Rav Aryeh Levin. "Therefore, I traveled 3 days to come here. I am willing to bring you back to my home, and then I will travel back here with you, and then I will return home. This is a total of minimum 12 days of travel, just so my son will have a Bris Milah." The rabbi told of Aryeh Levin, the verse compares the Jewish people to a dove. The Gemara teaches us that even when a dove leaves its nest, it glances back from time to time. It does not go so far that it ever loses sight of the nest. This is a metaphor for every Jew. Even when Jews stray from the path of Torah, they do not forget it completely, because a Jew is never lost. They still keep Torah in their sight, and like the dove to its nest, they remember to glance back every so often. "I saw this, Rabbi," said the elderly man to Rav Aryeh Levin, "from the behavior of that irreligious Jew in Russia. And every time I read this pasuk, Hinach yafa ra'ayasi, how beautiful is my beloved. Hinach yafa einayich yonim, how beautiful are your eyes like doves. And every time I recite this verse, which is recited in Shir Shirim at the end of the Seder, I remember this Jew in Russia, because a Jew is never lost." I'm a Rabbi Yossi ben, can you see my screen? I'm a Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Pam achas hayisi mehalech badarach upaga bi adam echar. Ben asan li shalom. Vechzarti lo shalom. Amar li Rabbi me'eza makom ata. Amarti lo me'ir gedola shachachamim v'shal sofrim ani. I have so many shiurim in my place. I have so much access to Torah in my place. I have Torah teachers in my place. I have tzedakah funds in my place. That's so nice, Rabbi, but really? Okay, maybe I'll consider it. What do you have in your place? What can you offer me? My place is one, to paraphrase Shani, where they film movies and people love to look perfect. Amarti lo, answered Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Bini, you're lost. My son, you are lost. And Matano saying, call. Oh my God, we have so many chadushon tonight. Lahagdil Torah laha adira. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma talks about kesef. Who's talking about kesef? The guy doesn't offer you kesef. Bechol dor vador. In some generations it's this enemy, and in some generations it's this enemy. But nevertheless, Omdi Malinu, the Chalasein, or whatever their tactic. Paro, by the way, was both. Why? In Benhu va miten oso vi imbasi usachayun. Paro was both. He wanted to kill the males physically and allow the women to intermarry, spiritual annihilation. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, I'm sorry, I can't come to your place. I'm not moving. People move all the time for Torah, but I'm not moving. I describe what's important to me. I don't even know where Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is from. And you're describing what's important to you. And therefore, imatano seinli kol kasaf, if you give me all the mirrors that adorn every home in your place, because you people are clearly looking in a little bit of silver and seeing yourself. Vizahav, lavanim tovos umargolio shaba ola. Eini dar el b'makam Torah, velo or. I want you to know this was always one of my favorite Mishnayos, but now it's like, I shouldn't really say that. It's a very moving Mishnah, but now it's 1,000 times more so. Hello, Od. We're all here for such a limited time. We can be like a Rav Aryeh Levine, halavai, not really, but on our own level. B'shas p'ti rasul sha'adam, ein malavin lo l'adam, lo kesef. Velozav, all the mirrors are not coming. And all the gold is not coming. And the precious hope diamond is not coming. And the South Sea pearls are not coming. Ela Torah umaisim tovim bilvad. Kolamar belisaper. And from a place of chachamim and sofrim. Kolamar belisaper. The more Torah you speak of. Harezim eshubach. Oh my gosh. I could cry. It's so moving. It's so beautiful. It's so important. It's so relevant. Shana'amar, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, B'salachecha tanacha osach, when you walk, it will lead you. B'shachbecha tishmar alecha, when you lay down, it will guard you. V'hakitzvosa hi tisichacha. And when you arise, it's your conversation. When you walk, it will guide you in this world. When you lay down, it will guard you. When you walk, it will lead you in this world. When you lay down, it will guard you in the grave. When you have your conversation, what will you talk about? They're going to say to you, what did you talk about down there? They're going to say, I spoke about Torah. They'll say, oh, la'olam haba. And so it says in Sefer Tehillim by David Melech Yisrael. Tov, ein tov ela Torah. Pirkei Avos says that elsewhere in Pirkei Avos. Tov li Torah picha me alfei zahav v'kesef. Geographic secondary. The essence of the place where I'm from is primary. Rav Matl, it's a nice word, but we're lost. We're not lost. When a Jew is with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's never lost. Al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachanu. Tov li Torah picha me alfei zahav v'kesef. Why? Because everything belongs to God anyway. Li hakesef v'li hazav. You're going to bring me your silver and your gold, says God. It's all mine. Omer Hashem Tzavakos. This year is in honor of Miriam Goodman by her cousin Susie Fonfetter. Miriam is her best friend, her cousin, and her sister, who inspired her on her path of Avodas Hashem, Miriam is also very special to all of us because it's coming up to 2 years and she is our Shear founder and very committed Shear member. And also we thank Paula Spodek and her husband Iris Spodek, who sponsored and dedicated this Shear in honor of L'shavech V'odah to the Ribono Shalom, their new grandson Yaakov Avram, Shetizku L'gadlo, L'torah, L'chupim, L'maisim Tovim, Dvarim Hayotzim Min Halev. I hope and pray. Nichnasim El Halev. I thank you joining geographically from far and wide. And I wish everybody a chag kasher v'samech. Oh, this is very important. For the first year, just a little tachas, that was all tachas, a little side point. For the first year after Yontav Baruch Hashem, we have a sponsor. It's an online, I never met her, I'm not exactly sure where she lives, online listener. That's the first Thursday night after Chag, the 26th, something like that, the 27th. I don't have any sponsors. That means we don't have going into, what's this month, April, May. We need sponsors for May. We don't have. So if you are listening online, because people reach out to me or with us, you haven't taken a turn, you enjoy and you benefit from the Shear, and you're interested in the Harbatza Satorah, please, we need sponsors for May. I wish you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, an uplifting, wonderful, healthy, simcha-filled, ruchniestek, Yom Tov, Shachachamim, Vishal Sofrim, Ani. Thank you so much for this chus. Laila Tov, good Shabbos, and good Yom Tov. Kol Tov, thank you to all.